Good evening and welcome to the gospel meeting. I'd like to begin this evening by singing number 6. God in mercy sent his son to a world by sin undone. Jesus Christ was crucified, 'twas for sinners, Jesus died. Oh, the glory of the grace shining in the Savior's face, telling sinners from above that God is light, that God is love. Somebody could start number 6, please. I'd like to ask God for his help tonight. For those of you who live in Canada, you're aware that this is Remembrance Day weekend. And so you're probably not surprised to see a poppy on my lapel. I see a number of you are wearing poppies. For those of you who are from other countries, you may not be aware of the fact that we have in Canada a tradition because of a poem written by Colonel John McCrae. In Flanders fields, the poppies grow. Written by a soldier from World War I. As he watched on a battlefield, the birds fly over his head, thought about his fallen comrades. And at the end of the Great War, on November the 11th, at 11 o'clock, there was an armistice, the peace treaty signed at Versailles, that declared peace and ended the Great War. The war to end all wars. 1919, November 11th, 11 o'clock. And tomorrow this country remembers on that day. For over 90 years, Canada has been remembering soldiers, not just from the Great War, but from the Crimean War, the wars before that, the wars of Canada's history, the wars in which Canada went after as a peacekeeper to help keep the peace. And so tomorrow in Canada is Remembrance Day. And there will be different ceremonies in the large cities, in the small towns, in the villages. People will remember their dead. Those who went at the call of Canada and her Queen to defend our freedom and our way of life. And that's a very interesting thing, very good thing for our country to do. One of the things that is very interesting about Canada's military history, and there's a similar thing, I believe, in the United States, and that there is a medal that is given for bravery on the field of battle in the face of the enemy. That medal was first created by Queen Victoria. Queen Victoria lived in the 1800s. Created this medal for the Crimean War to reward and to recognize those who showed incredible valor, bravery, who did acts of self-sacrifice at great risk in fulfilling their duty and helping their fellow soldiers. And throughout the years, these have been given time and time again. But over those many wars that Canada has participated in, there's less than 100 that have been given this medal, the Victoria Cross. It's an interesting medal. When it was first created, in order to keep that medal, people's lives had to stay of exemplary behavior. And so there were some men who transgressed in some way. One man married a second wife, and they took away his Victoria Cross. Another man stole one of his comrades' medals. They took away his Victoria Cross. But you know, in the 1920s, after the Great War, King George V was thinking about this, and he thought about it, and he said, it's not right that somebody that's been that brave should lose their medal. And so in his words, This is what he said. The king feels so strongly that no matter the crime committed by anyone on whom the VC has been conferred, the decoration should not be forfeited. Even were a VC to be sentenced to be hanged for murder, he should be allowed to wear his Victoria Cross on the scaffold. You know, it's an incredible thing to think about that. Earlier this week, I went into Canadian Tire in Smiths Falls. There was a gentleman standing there in a navy blue coat, gray dress pants, and he had two rows of badges on his jacket. And when I think about that man, you know, if he had even this highest of all medals, the Victoria Cross pinned to him, can you imagine if that man committed a murder? King George would say he should keep his Victoria Cross. And yet if he stood on that scaffold to be hanged by his neck until dead, he would hang there with the Victoria Cross on his jacket. Now, I'd like to make a very simple point with this. And that is, it doesn't matter who you are. It does not matter what great deeds you've done in your life. If you have so much as one sin, God will recognize all the good things that you have done, but that one sin will condemn you to hell. And so, yes, on your record will be all the money that you gave away, all the kindnesses that you showed, all the charity, the sweetness and generosity to your family, but overruled by one sin. The wages of sin is death. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And you know, keep that in mind. One sin. Now go back to the Victoria Cross. Go back to Remembrance Day in your mind and think about this question. Why is there war? Why does a country have to call up its strong young men and women? Why do they have to dress in uniforms with guns over their shoulders? Line upon line, row upon row, rank and file. Their mothers looking at them, seeing a fine specimen, young, strong specimen of humanity, and knowing in their heart that the next time they come home, it may be with a Canadian flag draped over their coffin. Why death? Why suffering? It's an interesting thing to me that war is not unique to this earth. I'd like you to turn with me to Revelation, the 12th chapter. And the seventh verse. And there was war in heaven. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. Read the book of Daniel. you'll see recorded there the angels fighting. Daniel praying for 3 weeks for an answer and satanic forces stopping them from coming with the answer. For 3 weeks, 21 days. There's war in heaven. Why? Why? Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 14. We went and read about the dragon. You read in Revelation, the dragon has many names. The devil, Satan, Apollyon, destroyer. One of his many names is Lucifer. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. I will be like the Most High. Only by pride cometh contention. The devil, Lucifer, Satan, aspire to take what belonged to his creator, Almighty God. He aspired to take that which was not his, to have which was not his. And that, my friend, is sin. And so at the bottom of the wars in heaven is sin. And at the bottom of the wars on earth is sin. Whence come wars and fightings? Do they not come from your lusts? Think about it. Sin is at the bottom of that conflict. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. In addition to creating angels, the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars also, the animals, the fish, everything, God created man. In his own image, he created them. And Satan took his war from heaven to earth for that very first couple. And he deceived Eve. And Adam chose to disobey God. He sinned. And because the devil did that, and because Satan led Adam and Eve to transgress God's commandment, this is what God said to the serpent. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Enmity. That's related very closely to the word enemy. It comes from the same place. And so there's a war between the seed of the woman and Satan. And it goes on. It started before Adam and Eve. And it continues to this day in heaven and on earth. Now let's turn to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Did you know it? That you have made yourself an enemy of God by the things that you have done, by wicked works. This afternoon we had brought before us that a wicked work can be as simple as plowing your field without respecting the fact that it's God's land. Now let's turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? That's exactly how you join the devil's army. When you, as a little child, disobeyed your parents, you joined the devil's army. You made yourself an enemy. When you stole something, when you swore, whatever it might have been against God, you joined the ranks of those who were the servants of the devil. That's a solemn, solemn, solemn place to be. Because the wrath of God abides on you. The wrath of God abides on you. World War I, the Great War, the war to end all wars. What a noble purpose. What a reason to fight, to bring peace on earth. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 21. Ezekiel 21 and verse 27. Remember, the wars on earth reflect the war and the struggle in heaven, driven by sin. And yet there's more to it. Here we have Ezekiel 21, verse 27. God says, I will overturn, and it shall be no more, until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him. Will there be peace on earth? Yes, there will be. But not arranged by any man other than Jesus Christ, the Lord, the eternal Son of God. Let me take you forward in time so you can see what the outcome is of this war. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19, starting with verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Two names for Jesus Christ. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. John chapter 1. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Chapter 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he might be loosed a little season. Verse 7. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go out to deceive the nations that are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. In a little over 1,000 years, that will be history. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The outcome of this battle in heaven is that the devil loses. Do you want to be on the losing side? Are you on the losing side? The Victoria Cross is given to people who show extraordinary bravery. There was a man by the name of Andy Minarski, Canadian from Winnipeg, fighting in World War II, the war that was a direct consequence of the war to end all wars. He was in the Air Force. He was a gunner. He was assigned with his pilot to a Lancaster bomber. Huge plane, full of bombs. After D-Day, he was on his airplane, traveling through the air over France at night in the dark, and the searchlights shone up from the German gun batteries, anti-aircraft guns, and they located his plane. And there was a Messerschmitt fighter flying around above him. And while he was illuminated, while that plane, that Lancaster bomber, was illuminated, that Messerschmitt came in with its cannons firing, and he didn't miss. He hit the engines out on the wing, and those cannonballs caused a fire on that Lancaster bomber. That fire spread, and it spread down the wings and into the fuselage. And the pilot realized he had no hope of continuing that flight. He would never finish his bombing raid. He was going to crash. And so he gave the order, bail out. The men at the front of the plane opened the front hatch, and they jumped, and they pulled their parachutes, and they went down into enemy territory. landed safely and were captured by the Germans. And at the rear of the plane, Andy Minarski opened the rear escape hatch. And as the flames were burning, he looked back to the rear gun turret where his friend Pat was. And he looked through those flames and he watched Pat struggling with the door because that gun turret had rotated far enough to not let Pat out. Pat was trapped in the gun turret to go down with a plane. And Andy stood on the edge of the door of that airplane and looked back at his friend. If you were Andy, what would you have done? Andy walked on that narrow catwalk above the bombs, through the burning hydraulic fluid, back to where his friend was trapped. And he grabbed the fire axe and he put it in the hole and he yanked on the handle. But the turret wouldn't move. And he took his bare hands and he tried to pull it over and he couldn't move it. And Pat inside was trying to open that turret, but it wouldn't open. And Pat looked at Andy and he saw his parachute starting to burn and Andy's clothes on fire from having walked through the burning hydraulic fluid and those inferno of flames. And Pat told him, go, jump. And Andy went back through the flames, waved goodbye to his friend, and jumped out the door. Pulled his chute, and his burning parachute went out behind him. He landed hard on the ground, all on fire. Some French farmers found him. They took him to a German field hospital. The next day, Andy died of the burns. When somebody earns a Victoria Cross and they're already dead, they can't give it to them, they give it to them posthumously. The amazing thing is, when that Lancaster crashed into the ground, Pat Brophy was thrown clear of the bomber and survived. He was captured by the Germans, and when he was freed after the war, he said, "I want that man to be recognized. Andy Minarski was brave. He went beyond the call of duty. He tried to save me, and he didn't succeed." And the administration agreed, and they awarded him a Victoria Cross. I want to turn to Philippians chapter 2. When a man like Andy has done something like that, they write up a citation and they publish it. That's part of the reason I know his story, because I've read it in his citation. God had a cross, and God has a citation. And I want to read it to you. Philippians chapter 2, the last two words of verse 5. Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's God's citation. And God's man is his Son, Jesus Christ. And he is the hero of that spiritual war that's going on. And at Calvary's cross, that poor wise man delivered a city. That poor wise man, his name is Jesus. You know, I'm sure that Andy Minarski's mother was happy and sad to see him go off to war. And I'm sure the day that the telegram came, said Andy is missing in action, her heart was broken. She didn't know what was going to happen to Andy. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 6. And verse 8, I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Prophetically, the words of Jesus, here am I, send me. A volunteer for what the military would call a suicide mission. And God the Father knew exactly what Jesus, his Son, was going for. He was going to die on Calvary's cross for me. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses me from all sin. It's the same blood that can cleanse every one of your sins. Whosoever will may come. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, verse 50, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. Saith unto the disciples, sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. When Andy got onto that plane to fly over France, like everyone else on that plane, he knew it might be his last flight. But he didn't know. My Lord Jesus Christ, on that night, in the Garden of Gethsemane, knew exactly what was before him. The judgment of a holy God that would have put me in the lake of fire for eternity, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, awaited him. Did he want to go there? What did he say? If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But he went forward. He did it. He went on. Let's turn over to verse 53. Jesus, at his arrest, said this, Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall not presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Enough angels to kill every person on earth today in one night. Gone. Dead. He had an escape route. He didn't have to go. He could have asked for the angels, and there would have been no salvation for you or for me. But he chose, knowing what it was going to cost, what he would have to pay. Turn over to the 27th chapter and verse 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. They stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. When they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. Down to verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Verse 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Why? Why did he do it? John 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. God sent his Son, called him Jesus. He loves you. He wants you. He died to redeem you. What do you think of Jesus? God thinks that to him every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. And tonight I would urge you to do that tonight. Decide for Christ tonight. Accept him as your Lord. Believe in your heart that he died for you, that God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. You'll change allegiance from the devil to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the winning side. And as I pray, I trust that you too would pray. As you think about the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you, about the God who loved you and gave his only begotten Son, that you, believing in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray.